Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and our lockbox doubleheader for this Wednesday, the 2nd of October. I'm Joe Donahue. Well, if you're anything like me, you grew up believing that plastic should be recycled, not thrown away. You put the plastics in the bin and you're doing a good thing. You have a little halo that just sort of pops right up over your head. Well, now California is suing ExxonMobil, claiming that this belief is misleading and that the company has deceived the American public for, about half a century. The California AG said, quote, plastics are everywhere from the deepest parts of our ocean, the highest peaks on Earth, and even in our bodies, causing irreversible damage in ways known and unknown to our environment and potentially our health. As part of our lockbox deep dive on issues that deserve your attention ahead of voting day in November, we focus on plastics and recycling, and we welcome a wide range of experts to discuss the issue, all the while supporting WAMC's lockbox. We are very happy to have the following individuals with us. Let me introduce the mastermind behind all of this. Bennington College faculty member, former EPA regional administrator, and president of Beyond Plastics, Judith Enk. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning. Great to have this conversation with you and your listeners.
Really nice to have you all with us. By the way, any questions you have about recycling, any questions you have about the subject as a whole and things that you thought you knew or don't know or want to know more about, all you have to do is write to us, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. We also welcome the chair of Zero Waste Capital District, Tina Lieberman, is here. Hello, Tina. How are you?
Hi. Good morning.
It's a thrill to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us. And we also welcome co-founder and co-director of the Descendants Project, Joe Banner, joins us. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Doing fine.
It's really nice to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us. So, Judith, my apologies. My apologies. Vera Carius Kelly stays on. As I mentioned, Vera Carius Kelly, comparative politics professor at Siena College, and staying with us. She did the last one, and her agent is different, so she had to do both. But now we're thrilled, but obviously a subject near and dear to your heart with a lot of work that you're doing on the subject as well.
Exactly. So thank you so much. I am really excited to be part of this panel because I wanted to take a quick opportunity to tell all of you about a fantastic local conference and symposium that is happening at Siena College on October 10th and 11th. It is called Earth's Cry, Humanity's Call, a symposium on integral ecology. And I wanted to highlight a number of things. In particular, Thursday night, for friends of WAMC, I'm moderating the major keynote opening. Secretary General of the UN, Guterres, is going to address the audience and speak on global environmental issues. And then we have a fantastic follow-up with comments from areas that you might want to think about already today in our discussion. We have three additional respondents to the Secretary General and speaking with the audience. First of all, it is James McDonald, the Health Commissioner for New York State's Department of Health. So he will be interconnecting health-related issues, public health, and environmental challenges. Then I have on the panel my former Siena College student and now third-year medical school student, Mehta Palnati. She will be speaking about the direct impact of pollution, heat, rising water on migrant workers, migrants across the border, and refugees. And then we will have a third respondent, the Reverend Catherine Bielke from Beyond Plastics, who is also a fantastic person and expert on linking issues related to faith traditions and plastic pollution. So that links us in very nicely. So if you're interested in logging on, registering for the conference, it is the keynote Thursday night, October 10th, and all day Friday, October 11th. What we have is online information about the various panels, local environmental organizations. We're talking about sustainability campaigns, plastic issues, water pollution, air pollution, and so on. Go to Siena.edu, Siena College, S-I-E-N-A, Siena College.edu, and look for Earth's Cry, Humanity's Call, the Symposium on Integral Ecology. Thank you.
Vera, that's great. And thank you for including our new colleague, Reverend Catherine Bielke from Columbia County. She just joined the Beyond Plastic staff to do outreach in an ecumenical way to the faith community. Vera, this conference is both in person and online.
Yes, it is.
So it's at Siena College or online.
Yep.
And what's the registration cost?
It's free. It's actually a free conference.
I'm setting you up, honey.
That is really good because I was thinking, yeah, of course it's for free. It's for community members, for anybody who's interested. We're inviting, in particular, you know, faith communities to participate in this conversation because they play a very important role to be active in the issue of guarding our environment and making sure the future is safe for all of us in terms of our health, in terms of our access, in terms of our opportunities. And we also, of course, have large numbers of students and high schoolers coming.
Great.
Well, let us begin the discussion.
I'm already exhausted.
Yes,
a lot going on.
Let us begin, and Judith, I'll begin with you. Because as I mentioned in the introduction about the lawsuit and what's happening in California, but it brings us to the larger issue of plastics. It brings us to recycling. It brings us to issues. Unless I missed something, I mean, there was a very general question about, you know, do you believe in climate change last night? And that was about it. So that's how far we've gotten in the conversation. And I'm just curious as to, as we look to Election Day, of why certainly that this is a huge issue and something that voters should take into consideration come Election Day.
Yeah, it really is. And while it was a very brief mention, I'm glad climate change was up, I think, in the second slot last night. And there are already two studies out called attribution science studies showing that the incredible, ferocious hurricane that hit six states just last week was made stronger because of warmer temperatures. And there is that direct connection. And we'll hear more from my friend Joe Banner with the Descendants Project. She's in Louisiana and can speak a lot to the hurricane issues. But these issues are crucial. In fact, just last night, Beyond Plastics hosted a webinar on a series of recommendations we made to presidential candidates, 27 policy recommendations that we sent to both the campaigns of Harris and Trump, wondering which one might read it. And there's a lot that the federal government can do. It has been missing in action. The time to act is now. Plastic and chemical production is expected to triple between 2025 and 2050 unless we change the status quo. And I'd like to address the California lawsuit, unless you want to circle back to that, Joe.
No, go ahead. We're gonna take a break in just a few minutes. So let's do that, and then we'll bring in our other speakers.
This is a historic lawsuit filed by California Attorney General Rob Bonta. I was in New York City last week for Climate Week, and he announced the lawsuit on Monday. I was supposed to be at a Plastics and Health conference, but I stepped away from that and somehow talked my way into his news conference. And it was so inspiring to hear an attorney general from a major state address the issue of how the plastics industry has been lying to all of us about plastic recycling for decades. So his lawsuit is an attempt to stop the lying. And secondly, when he succeeds, and I believe he will succeed in court, there will be an abatement fund similar to the tobacco litigation, where plastic producers will have to give millions of dollars to address the ongoing problem of plastic pollution in California. Other states can file similar lawsuits. States like New York and Connecticut and New Jersey and Massachusetts. This is a big deal, taking on ExxonMobil. And I think the more state attorneys general do investigations like this, the greater chance we have of changing the curve of plastic production being expected to triple by 2050.
So what is the impact in the sense of you make this issue known, but what changes as a result, even if there is a win in this
yeah.
lawsuit?
So what I told some reporters is that Exxon can moot out.
It'd be just some reporter, Judith.
Some reporters.
I said, I don't want to just be some reporter.
Let me rephrase that.
And I tell my, yes.
You're not just
you.
Any
no,
reporter,
I know,
Joe.
I know.
What I would share with the esteemed host of the roundtable on
you.
WAMC, please make a donation by the end of the hour. Gosh, you really were bent out of shape on that one,
fine,
buddy.
Fine.
My point is Exxon can moot out half of this case by stopping the lies. So there are multi-million dollar advertising campaigns by plastic producers, trade associations, Exxon, Shell, others, telling all of us, don't worry about all the plastic production. You can just put your plastics in your recycling bin and everything will be fine. Totally not true. Everyone should keep recycling paper, metal, glass, cardboard, compost your yard waste and food waste. Plastic recycling has been an abysmal failure. It clocks in at a 5 to 6% recycling rate in the United States. It's not going to get better. But you would never know that by seeing these multi-million dollar ad campaigns. And also, when you're in the supermarket, a lot of plastic packaging has the iconic recycling logo on it.
Yes.
People see that and think that they can recycle it. In fact, in our region, you should only put items that say number one or number two in the recycling bin. And there's even problems with plastics recycling because basically they grind and shred the plastic and you get microplastics into the air and into the water. So the way the plastics industry has increased their market share is not because we're all voting for more plastic. It's because plastic is cheap because of fracked gas and because people have been purposely confused about the recyclability of plastics. This is a classic consumer fraud case, and I think it's going to succeed.
We're going to hear more from our panel, Judith Eng, Tina Lieberman, Joe Banner, and Vera Acarius Kelly, as we talk about plastics recycling and climate. We go over now to Lockbox Central with Ray Graff.
Lockbox Central now. Joe, thank you very much. Great panel this morning. We are raising money for this radio station and little breaks in this special edition of the Roundtable. The number to call with your pledge is 800-323-9262. If you're just tuning in, we had a challenge on the table last night that we didn't make. That person, that anonymous person in Washington, Massachusetts, said, all right, you got another shot. You got to go to 250 today to make the money. And then another person from Albany said, all right, I want to throw $1,000 on top of that. And that came in this morning. So there's $2,000 in challenges on the table. We have now, we're in the 7,000s.
We are. Incredible.
242,873. It's been a great morning. You at home or wherever you happen to be have done the right thing. And if you haven't done the right thing, now is the time, Sarah LaDuke, to do the right thing.
It is. Please give us a call, 800-323-9262. Sorry, I wasn't here on time. We were talking about Lego in the newsroom.
Oh, well, of course. But, you know, it's the theater of the mind. Nobody knew except me.
Well, I thought I'd still apologize and also just mention some of the important topics we're discussing
Legos.
In the newsroom include Lego. Yes.
Oh, you kids and your Legos and your toys and your Yahtzee and
whatnot.
We're
so young. I'm 41.
Okay, man, whatever.
800-323-9262 or online at WAMC.org. Let's thank some people who pledged this morning. Thanks to Aaron in Big Indy in New York, who says, thank you for having such wonderful experts on the roundtable. Thanks to Michael in Norfolk, Connecticut, Deborah and Jeff in Hudson, New York. We have a new member in Saugerties named Carol. Welcome to the family.
Hi, Carol.
Thanks to Tom in Pleasant Valley, New York, Merrill in Kerhonkson, New York. Love the roundtable, especially like Libby Post's analysis on issues. And we heard from Anonymous in Chicopee, Mass., who really loves WAMC.
You know, I have some people to thank, too.
Cool.
And we're in the 6,000s now, folks. We're at 243 and 23, $243,023. We need to hit 250 today, and I promise we're going right back to the roundtable in a couple of moments, but we need you on the phone, 800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. Thanks to Eugene in Florence, Massachusetts. Here's to real journalism, says Eugene. Thanks to Anonymous in Adams, Mass. Lex, everything, you're on whenever I'm at home. I never switch the dial. Thanks to John in Cairo, New York, new member. John, thank you.
Welcome, John.
Tom and Pamela in Greenwich, New York. Couldn't live without WAMC. Tony, with an I, in Hopewell Junction, New York. Pamela in New York, New York. Anonymous in Great Barrington, Mass. Thanks for being a guiding light during these dark times. Sharon in Holyoke, Massachusetts. Thank you, Sharon. Thanks to Joanne and Darren in Schenectady, who write, we just love our WAMC. It's such a breath of fresh air in this insane political climate. The Roundtable is a phenomenal program. We look forward to listening to it every day. Joe is such a wonderful host. We love that Libby Post. She tells it like it is. We love her commitment to animals. Ray is terrific on Vox Pop.
Yeah, he is.
He's hilarious. Not always. WAMC is such a quality radio station. I hope it continues for many years to come. Please step up, listeners, and do your part to keep the station moving forward. Okay, I'm going to read that last part again. Joanne and Darren say this. WAMC is such a quality radio station. I hope it continues on for many years to come. Please step up, listeners. Do your part to keep the station moving forward. Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks to Alyssa in Garrettsville, New York. Over to you.
1-800-323-9262. Ray, do you think I Want My MTV is in the public domain so we could do I Want My WAMC without any kind of infringement?
Oh, you know, we're not a litigious society. It'll be fine. No, not to worry. Go ahead.
1-800-323-9262. Please keep pledging. Please keep supporting the station. We return now to our climate special with Joe Donahue and the rest of the panel.
Thank you very much, Sarah LaDuke. And I want both my MTV and my WAMC. That seems fine. Good morning and welcome back to the discussion. We are talking about plastics recycling and the importance of these issues, especially as we gear up for the election. I do want to check in with Joe Banner, who is co-founder and co-director of the Descendants Project. This group was founded to preserve and protect the health, land, and lives of the Black descendant community located in Louisiana's river parishes. And Joe, give us a sense of the importance of that, because this is an area often referred to as Cancer Alley because of the plastic production facilities that are there and the damage that they have caused.
Yes, and thank you for the introduction. We, to understand how we are in the middle of Cancer Alley, or why my parish, St. John the Baptist Parish, is in the middle of this 85-mile stretch between New Orleans and Baton Rouge, you have to understand the plantation system that started in our area, well, in the country, but particularly the density of plantations in our area for over the last 300 years. My family has been here 10 generations, and throughout those 300 years, but that's when the extraction started. That's when the exploitation of the enslaved Africans began, with them working the plantations, being forced to work those plantations and being sacrificed for economy, actually for refining of sugar. So with that industrialization that started through the plantation system, the ignoring or the exploitation of the Africans who came in here, our ancestors, you have the perfect system for the petrochemical companies to actually locate. The plantations laid out the framework. It's the acreage that they needed. It provides the access to the river, which is necessary. And you also have an accommodating government that will allow for people to be harmed and for money. And this is what the petrochemical companies have built their industry on, literally. The plantation grounds that these plants are on are also sacred spaces because the enslaved did not have formal cemeteries to bury their loved ones. So they would take pieces of land on the plantation, often that weren't used for anything else, to bury their loved ones. So the petrochemical companies, in addition to being on plantation grounds, they're also on sacred land of our ancestors. We as descendants are on the borders of those plantations because naturally the plantation system was the home, right? You lived as a village. And oftentimes with families, such as my own, would moved off the plantation but bought land surrounding it. So now these descendant communities like ourselves, like I am, or my community is, excuse me, we're on the fence line of petrochemical companies and oil companies all throughout Cancer Alley. So within the region, that 85-mile stretch, there's about 200 heavy industry plants that are involved with the production of plastic in some way, shape, or form. And for most of us, we have the upstream production of plastic. We have multiple levels of production, but as the upstream production of plastic, the chemicals that are coming from the plants, ethylene oxide, benzene, the cracking of all of that to make plastic products, that is what's been particularly harmful to our health, especially for cancer risk. We have the 97% percentile risk of cancer, which is the highest risk that we have in the country. In some places, in St. John the Baptist Parish alone, it's 1,000 times the acceptable risk for cancer that we have in the country.
Why, I'm leading the jury here, but why were the plants placed there and the idea behind that, given the residents and given that community and its makeup?
Well, it goes to the history. You have people who've been sacrificed. It goes down to racism, environmental racism. It's a perfect example of that. We see communities of color, particularly Black communities, who are suffering the same type of issues with pollution because we've always been, in many ways, we've been expendable. It's just been a cost of doing business. So you have this false notion of economic development, and it is false in most of those cases, versus the health of people, particularly Black people, poor people, rural people. We also see it and also in communities like rural farming communities too that are white. We see instances of that happening. But in this case, it's because you have these Black people have always been sacrificed. So it continues. The petrochemical companies take advantage of that. They see the system, the system of slavery still running strong in Louisiana, and they take advantage of that, and they put their plants in locations like this because they can.
What, and I use this term, and you can define this however you wish, but what wins do you believe that you've had?
Well, a big win that we recently had, we fought, and it is connected, although it was not a petrochemical company per se, although it did involve a lot of fuel that would have powered the ships and the trucks and all of this associated with it. But we stopped an export grain terminal for coming into our community of Wallace. And our community is a free town, which it was comprised in part by formerly enslaved people who pulled their money together and lived cooperatively to form these communities, which we live in right now. But we saved, our community would have been destroyed by this particular grain export terminal because of the infrastructure that would have been needed to facilitate it. The ships, the traffic, all of that, there's no way we could have lived alongside of it. But what's important about this is that grain export terminal would have had a massive dock. That dock would have opened up thousands of acres of land along in Cancer Alley to more petrochemical build-out. So this was just a start. But having that dock that could facilitate ships, they called them Super Panamax ships because they were so big. They were too big to fit in the Panama Canal. This is the size of the ship that we would now have, who could now come to the river. So you imagine just the petrochemicals that would have been shipped and exported and moved with that dock alone is massive. In addition, we also fought back against industrial zoning. So zoning is a major concern. Before you have any of this, before you have the pollution, before you have the extraction, you must have the zoning in place. So we fought back, and we're still in a lawsuit, actually, to revert the industry designation of the land back to residential. It was a hard, hard battle against this particular company, Greenfield, Louisiana, and their major investor is Christopher James, who is based in New York, actually. Engine number one, it's a green impact investment company, as they describe themselves, but very powerful, rich people, and a $600 million project. Of course, we would not have seen that money, but we as a small community, we fought back, and we did everything we could in order to protect our community. And our message really is to other people in this fight, you have to say stop, say no. And be okay, stand in your no. And don't let anyone embarrass you or say that you're wrong or you're naive, because you don't want something like this to come and destroy your community. It can be done. And it's the message that whenever we speak to the United States or whatever department and whatever government official I'm speaking to, is like, have you told them no? And have you believed that you can stop them? Because if you're not in that state, that mind frame, you won't be able to do it. So having that, those two words, and hope, having those three words, I think, really makes a big difference in the fight.
The other thing I would add, and Joe is very modest, is because of Joe's work, her sister Joy Banner, and other environmental justice groups in the Gulf States, the whole conversation about plastics at the United Nations has shifted. There are currently negotiations going on a UN plastics treaty. It's supposed to wrap up this December. We'll see if that happens. And when the UN started this process, and Vera, maybe you can pose a question to the head of the UN at your conference next week. It started with such a modest narrative of dealing with plastic in the ocean and cleaning it up after the fact. Because of Joe's voice, the conversation is now focused on reducing the production of plastic, getting the most toxic chemicals out of plastics. 16,000 chemicals are used to make plastics. A just transition for workers and for also the thousands of people known as waste pickers. And there's about 100, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, about 166 countries and states that are part of the High Ambition Coalition trying to get a strong international treaty. Joe has been enormously influential with these countries, but the response from the U.S. government and the State Department has been inadequate at best. The U.S. is not part of the High Ambition Coalition. We seem to be leading the Low Ambition Coalition. But because of Joe's work at, you know, really tough negotiating meetings in distant locations, the whole conversation about the treaty and how do we get international cooperation on plastic reduction has changed.
Joe, I'm incredibly impressed by the way you approached your own community and integrated voices that have been marginalized, ignored, or silenced. And that is something that sends a very strong signal to, I think, people around the world. So when I look at countries where you don't even have a democratic government, you know, and people there on the ground are trying to organize against exceptionally powerful investment companies that are focused on their bottom line and investors rather than on the historical grievances by people that have lived on the ground. That is something that we need to see more of, and you're my hero.
Well, indeed. We're going to continue with Joe Banner, Vera Karius-Kelly, Judith Enck, and Tina Lieberman, and our discussion on plastics and recycling and so much more. We do so after this Legal ID, and then Ray and Sarah will take us back.
This is Northeast Public Radio, WAMC-FM HD 90.3 Albany, WRUN HD 90.3 Remsen Utica, WAMK.
It is 11 a.m. and 27 seconds. I'm Sarah LaDuc.
I'm Ray Greff.
And we are here to remind you that the way that WAMC stays on the air and is able to provide you with programs like the one you're in the middle of listening to is through listener donations. We need to hear from you. We need support to stay on the air. Anything you can do, absolutely any dollar amount, is so appreciated and helps us reach our goal and helps us earn the two challenges we have on the table. Do you want to tell us about these challenges, Raimundo?
In a minute, yeah, but I thought you were going to jump into anything you can do, I can do better there when you said that.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes,
no,
I can.
You can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Oh, yeah, we have challenges. That's right. Okay, so anyway, last night we had a challenge. We did a pre-vice presidential debate special roundtable panel, which was terrific, by the way. That's on the web. Yeah?
It is indeed.
So we raised some funds in breaks of that. And at one point, Anonymous in Washington, Massachusetts said, I'll give you $1,000. It's a challenge. Try to make $240,000. Guess what? We didn't make it. But Anonymous in Washington, Mass. Threw that $1,000 back and said, make it to $250 today. And we're getting close. And then a little while ago, maybe an hour ago now, an Anonymous in Albany.
That's right.
Called and said, I'll throw another $1,000 in the kitty. So we have $2,000 challenge on the table. If we can hit $250 by 12 o'clock when the roundtable ends, Sarah LaDuc, where are we?
We have raised so far through the generous donations of so many members, $244,214.
Well, all right. So we need you right now. We got about $5,786 to go to make this challenge. We really want to do it. We have people to thank, and we do have to get back to the roundtable, but it's incumbent upon me to give you the number, 800-323-9262. Make the phone rings.
Make the phones ring. Make the phones ring. Make the phone ring. Make the phone rings. Yeah.
You know, I'm already in mid-season form, so time to go to the home, Uncle Ray.
No, hardly. 800-323-9262. You better not leave.
All right.
1-800-323-9262. Thank you to Anonymous in Schenectady, New York.
It's happening to you,
too. To Phil and Valerie in DeLanza, New York. To Anonymous in West Cornwall, Connecticut, who says, I'm disappointed that weapons of mass destruction were not mentioned by either candidate in regards to gun violence. Thanks to Anonymous of Greenwich, New York, and Allison and Jay in Huntington, Mass.
Thanks to Eileen in Tilson, New York, in appreciation of Judith Enk and her work on plastics awareness.
Woohoo.
Thanks to Anonymous in Holyoke, Massachusetts, Maxine in Stillwater, New York, who saith, I appreciate the targeted roundtables, great alternative to the fun drive. Maxine, we think it's a decent idea, and this is the first time we're really going at it, and we like it. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Thanks to Leah in Richmond, Massachusetts. I've been waiting for this time to contribute. Just listen to Ed Markey, longtime fan of Judith and Vera. Love this panel topic in environmental issues. Thanks to Anonymous in Loudonville, New York, giving through her donor-advised fund from Fidelity Charitable.
Cool.
Thank you for sharing.
All right.
Thanks
we're bona fide. I don't know.
We're bona fide. We certainly are. Thanks to Anonymous in Sunderland, Massachusetts. Thanks to Anonymous in Albany, New York. Anonymous in Mountainville, New York. Thanks to Jane in Worthington, Mass. Thank you, everyone.
1-800-323-9262. We do have volunteers ready to speak with you. Volunteers and staff, I should note, the incredible staff from various departments here at the station. Not a huge staff, but a devoted staff that works hard. 800-323-9262. Thanks to Anonymous in Rexford, New York. To Kenneth in Monson, Mass., who says, in appreciation of all the work put in by the staff at WAMC, thank you.
Very nice.
We're in the same lane,
yeah.
Kenneth and I. In terms of thinking of things, including the staff. And we also, Kenneth says, thanks today in particular recognition of Judith Enk, a panel guest extraordinaire. And we also heard from Marla in Cottekill, New York.
Okay, now we're going to back to Judith Enk and company, Joe Donahue and the whole gang in just a moment. But let me tell you, the phone lines are up. I need you to call 800-323-9262 right now. We have a little over $5,000 to go in this challenge, and we'll make another $2,000 from two separate donors. 800-323-9262, WAMC.org. That's the website.
Excellent. Thank you very much for all of that, and thank you for sharing. I believe is what Ray said earlier. Thank you for sharing. We welcome you to keep going, WAMC.org. 1-800-323-9262 to make that challenge before noon today. Let me just reintroduce our guest this morning. Judith Enck is here, Bennington College faculty member, former EPA regional administrator, and president of Beyond Plastics. Tina Lieberman is here as well, chair of Zero Waste Capital District. Vera Carius-Kelly is a professor of comparative politics at Siena College. And joining us on the telephone, Joe Banner, co-founder and co-director of the Descendants Project. Why is it an issue? I guess, Judith, I'm trying to figure out how we put all this together, that in a discussion about climate change, the environment, that we also look at this one side of it so that they're not all really fighting for the oxygen in the room.
Yeah, great question. So plastics is a health issue. It's an environmental justice issue. It's a toxics issue. It is a climate change issue because plastic production is plan B for the fossil fuel industry. We know that because of laws that have been adopted and because of some consumer choices, the demand for fossil fuel for electricity generation is declining because, thank goodness, we're finally getting investments in wind, solar, geothermal, better efficiency like heat pumps in your home. And the second big use of fossil fuel is to power cars and trucks, transportation. A lot of that is getting electrified, electric cars, electric buses, etc. So my guess, my educated guess, is a number of years ago, these little mom-and-pop companies like Shell and ExxonMobil and Chevron decided, what's our next market? Because those markets are declining, and all they care about is making as much money as possible. And if I could just take a step back, we are in a climate crisis. The whole world is flooding, overheating, more severe storms costing billions of dollars and lost lives. Just because the fossil fuel companies want to make record profits. That is just such an astonishing situation that we find ourselves. So the fossil fuel industry has decided their next big investment is plastics because their demand for fuel for cars and power generation is reducing. At the same time, fracking, hydrofracking, really hit the U.S. hard in places like Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, Texas, Ohio, not in New York. The one thing I will give Andrew Cuomo credit for, and it's only one thing, is blocking fracking in New York State. And thanks to all the grassroots activists who created the political climate where that had to happen. So when you frack for gas, you get a lot of waste called ethane gas that typically is flared into the atmosphere. What's happening now in places like Pennsylvania is that ethane is captured, sent by pipeline to new facilities with the odd name of ethane cracker facilities. They heat the ethane at high temperature and it cracks, that's the weird name, and they turn it into little plastic pellets, like teeny tiny little plastic, size of a grain of sand almost. And that is then shipped mostly by rail all over the country to make single-use plastics. And in fact, we have it in the Hoosic River because over the summer in northern Rensselaer County, there was a train derailment and millions of these little plastic particles are in the river. That is why plastic production is up.
So does that mean the plastic pellets or these kernels of sand are going to enter our water supply and we then build them up in our bodies over time and then we have very serious health conditions? And I think that's probably where we all connect on public health issues, on the rights of people not to be exposed to these public, to these plastic particles that are basically becoming part of our daily life. Everything we consume. People don't think about the fact that we drink out of plastic bottles, and what we do is consume microplastics. We add to our health concerns.
Yeah, I'm glad you raised that, Vera. And I'm glad I found a cough drop at the same time. So the growing...
We used to offer lozenges to all of our guests, but...
The growing...
It's before a fun drive.
Right. We're on our own in here have a coughing fit. There's finally focus on microplastics and nanoplastics in our bodies. And unfortunately, if you look for them, you find them. So there are microplastics have been identified in human lungs, blood, kidneys, human placenta, both the fetal side and the maternal side, breast milk, and testicles. The question is, what does this mean for our health? And a very important study came out, published in the New England Journal of Medicine last March, identifying microplastics in arteries that go to our heart. And basically, the microplastics attach to plaque. And in this study, they showed an elevated, if you had microplastics on your plaque in your heart arteries, you had an increased risk of stroke, heart attack, and premature death. The article, there was an article in Science magazine just 2 weeks ago, 20 years of looking at microplastics. And unfortunately, the problem is just getting worse. There is the physicality of the little fragments of plastic in our bodies, but there's also the fact that there are toxic chemicals in the little pieces of microplastics. I'm heading out to Boston College on Friday for a conference on plastics and health through the lens of faith and religion. Should be a really interesting conference. But last Monday and Tuesday, NYU Langone had a two-day conference on plastics and health, and it's up on their website. This is something that everyone should be talking to their doctors about. Just yesterday, there was a CNN report on a study by a group called Toxic Free Future out in Seattle identifying black plastic. We all have it in our kitchen, right? It's your spatula. It's your takeout food container. Black plastic has a large amount of toxic chemicals. So a couple of years ago, I couldn't believe how much I had in my kitchen. I went through my kitchen, and you can't recycle black plastic. I just threw it all out. And that is, I think, a very reasonable thing for us to do in our own kitchens.
Thanks to you, my kitchen is free of black plastic. I listened to your advice, and I got rid of it as well. It was scary.
I was going to say, a lot of people don't realize they're also heating their food, storing their food in plastic, and we think that's been okay, but of course we know that now that plastics, microplastics are leaching into your food, as well as the toxins from the plastics are leaching into your food, whether you're storing it and especially if you're heating it.
Do not microwave any food in plastic.
None. And don't even store your food in plastic. So I've been converting my kitchen over to glass storage containers.
So when it comes to plastics and recycling, Tina, I mean, how big of obviously composting is huge for you and for your organization. So what is the message you're trying to ultimately get out to this community?
So what we're doing, Zero Waste Capital District, we focus on how to reduce waste, both on a personal level, but also we assist our municipalities and also ideas for how to reduce waste. Since recycling is pretty much a broken system, we've started to focus on what other ways can we reduce waste. And we found that composting food scraps is a very, very important part of the equation. 28% of the waste that goes into landfills now can be composted. So we've been encouraging around the Capital District, trying to educate people about the importance of separating out your food scraps and getting them into a compost, a community compost drop-off facility, or composting in your own backyard, or hiring one of the companies that comes and will pick it up at your doorstep. So that's an important part of the equation for reducing waste. Not only does it reduce waste, But when you compost, you're improving your soil, which we desperately need. We desperately need to put nutrients back into our soil, replace topsoil. In urban communities, when we compost, we're putting soil on top of land that might be contaminated underneath. So we're putting good soil in, and we're also contributing to food deserts. You know, if you're, we take the compost in cities like Albany, we bring them out to the community gardens. And in the community gardens, people who may not ordinarily have access to supermarkets can start to grow food that's more nutritionally dense, because the compost takes all those food scraps that you were going to throw into your landfill, takes all those nutrients, puts them back into soil so people can grow food, and the food is more nutritional that way. So it's a very important part of the process. The other aspect we're looking at of how to reduce waste is reuse. I mean, start by reducing, refusing to buy plastics. That is really the start of it. Just look at your grocery store. Look at where you can buy bulk produce instead of buying produce that's sanitarily wrapped in plastic all the time, which then you can't really recycle that plastic. You could throw it in your recycling bin, but it's going to end up in a landfill anyway. Or worse, it's going to end up in a local incinerator. And we've got a couple of those in our region, too. So, you look at where you can buy bulk, and you start by buying bulk wherever you can and reducing your use of plastics. Like you were saying, Vera, if you're buying your juice in plastic bottles, if what are you really doing? You're just, again, taking in microplastics. You're supporting the plastics industry, which means you're supporting the fossil fuel industry. Yep. So we look at reducing, reusing, and one of our projects now is we're trying to see what resources we need in order to build a reuse center in the Capital District as well, a place where it would be very easy for people to donate items that they don't want to use anymore so that they don't just put it out on the curb and it gets taken over to a landfill.
Joe Banner, when you hear this, as co-founder and co-director of the Descendants Project, when you hear what we're talking about, you hear what both Judith and Tina just mentioned, how does that fit into your work and what you're doing in Louisiana?
We work to end the use of plastic because we know the significant health toll that it has on the community. And often, many people around here they don't make the connection between the production of the chemicals on the upstream to the actual production of the plastic and how it ties in so directly to our health. So building awareness around the health impact of plastic production is key. And having educating our community about the chemicals that's used, as you all were saying about black plastic and not being an even more health risk with that, is information like that we put out to our community. And, we share the danger of it with them, but as well as Judith mentioned, our work with intervening in certain settings with the federal government or in countries throughout the United Nations space, really bringing home that this is an international human rights crisis that's happening because of the production of plastic. There's no other way to say it in my belief. So just like highlighting that, the impact of it. And keep in mind, it's very difficult for us to speak up against these plants that are producing the chemicals. These are the big boys, as Judith mentioned before. We have to, and they're integrated into our government. So it's not easy for me to go and say, to be placed on an agenda to discuss concerns regarding pollution in the area or a new research piece, like the Johns Hopkins research that came out about our community that showed that the pollution levels were even more abundant than what they had, which were already bad, which the EPA had. So trying to get onto the agenda for my own parish, right, administration to say that we have been kept off with issue after issue because the hold of industry is so strong on the government. They protect it at all costs, even our health. So we do have to use spaces like the United States at the White House or going to the Congress or going to the United Nations in order just to get some help for our communities. That's the only type of, that's the only opportunity we have to really discuss what's happening or try to get some alleviation of the problems that we're having. And I also just want to say we have to look at climate. We're seeing how many people are suffering right now because of this, the latest hurricane and going through a major hurricane 3 years ago with Hurricane Ida and still feeling, actually, was it 2 years ago? I lose track. But still feeling like my life is just so discombobulated because of that storm. Having to move from home or locations because your home has been damaged or your community has been damaged and trying to deal with insurance when you're lucky to have insurance. Putting your life back together, and we're the lucky ones, right? But putting your life back together after a natural disaster or a hurricane, it is hard. It's not just 1 year, 2 year recovery. It's multiple years of recovery, mentally, physically, structurally. It takes a toll, and we're dealing with these storms year after year after year. Even though we had Hurricane Florence, it was a Hurricane One, but we had the eye wall pass over St. John Parish. That's two storms in 3 years where the eye wall has come over our community. We didn't have that before, and that's because the planet is getting warmer. So it's all tied to what's happening in these areas where we have the greenhouse emissions in addition to the pollution, and it's packing. It's such a whammy on us, and then as you see, it's spreading across the country.
Absolutely. We're going to pause there on that note. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation and send it over to Sarah and Ray.
Ray Graff here.
Sarah LaDuke here.
And right across the studio from me. And the number to call here is 800-323-9262. This is a good day. The roundtable panel has been extra interesting today, and it's always interesting. And we're raising a little money for this station. Couple challenges on the table, Sarah LaDuke.
Couple challenges on the table. We have a challenge that carries over from last night's show where we did not succeed in earning the challenge from Anonymous in Washington, Mass.
We failed.
And then as we were launching that and trying to psych people up about it, an enthusiastic Anonymous from Albany said, let me add another thou. And we thank them both so much for being so incredibly generous and helping us to help motivate listeners out there to support the station, to help us earn this extra $2,000 on top of the goal that we have for these challenges, which is $250,000 raised in the drive. And right now we are at $245,312.
Ooh, okay. So what they say is we're in the 4,000s. We have $4,688 to go to make that challenge. Please be one. We need you right now. 800-323-9262. This radio station depends on underwriting, and they're fantastic, loyal, wonderful underwriters.
Indeed.
It also depends a lot on you, and we need you, and you have been fantastic and loyal for all these decades. We need you now. 800-323-9262. That's the number, Sarah LaDuke. I understand there's a website.
There is. It is wamc.org, and you can listen to the station on the website. You can find past interviews and segments and news stories on the website and listen to them or share them in, via email or social media. And you can, of course, pledge.
And if you like premiums, oh, my good Glavin, there are so many there are so many premiums you can choose from. And, most of them would be $80, $100, $120 bucks, depending on what the premium is. But to be clear, to be a member of this radio station will take you a buck. Anything you have makes you a full member of this radio station. So when you are ready to pledge, do not feel, I can't hit the grand diamond level. Don't worry about it. You are part of the family. 800-323-9262.
And every little bit pledged right now helps us achieve these two challenges thrown down by or gently given,
right,
enthusiastically given by Anonymous in Albany, New York, and Anonymous in Washington, Massachusetts. Thank you to Scott in Millerton, New York, who says, you guys are barking up the right tree. Dutchess County incinerates all its waste. And we heard from Stephen in Queens Village, New York, who says, thank you for great informative programming.
Thank you very much. Thanks to Anonymous of North Pownell, Vermont. Thanks to Linda in Pittsfield, Mass. David in Amherst. Alan know Ellen in Rhinebeck, Lynn in Kingston, who says, I like the new system instead of 2 weeks of nothing but fun drive. We have to have a chat about that. And I like to make a contribution when there's a challenge because my money goes further. And
cool.
Lynn, that's correct. Now, to be fair, our fun drive begins October 14th.
6 a.m.
And the goal here is to make that as short as possible. These are important times. We have a big election. We have a news staff that works 24/7 on getting you information you need. We want to make that fun drive as short as possible. That's why we're doing these. 800-323-9262. Please be one. Help us make the challenge. Nina in Slingerlands, thank you. Thanks to Anonymous in Mechanicville, New York.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. Once again, $2,000 in challenge money from Anonymous in Albany, New York, Anonymous in Washington, Mass. If we can reach the $250,000 point in the lockbox by noon today, it's 11:26 right now. We are at 245, 452.
Okay, keep pledging.
Almost a Manaplan, a canal, Panama.
I have no idea what that means.
Gotcha. 800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. Back to Joe Donahue and the panel.
Thank you very much, Sarah LaDuke, and to Ray Graff, and to all of you who are giving, and to all of those of you who are on the phone, to all of those of you who are on your devices. Keep going. Please go. I hear you. You're going. The phones are ringing. This is all great. Keep doing it. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262. And we will be back with both Sarah and Ray in just a moment. Meanwhile, back in Studio A, Judith Hank, Tina Lieberman, Joe Banner, and Vera Akarios-Kelly as we discuss plastics and recycling. We have a lot of letters. Let's get to letters. Oh, my goodness, the letters. So we go. I hope you're all ready.
Bring it.
Beryl says, Judith, if everyone listening to this program wrote to the corporations that manufacture their favorite products that come packaged in plastic and said they would not continue to purchase the product unless the company changed packaging, wouldn't that be helpful? This is a topic for discussion, not necessarily a yes or no answer. Thank you. Keep up the great work.
Maybe. We've all been doing that for years, and companies keep using plastic because for them it's cheap. But for us, it's not. It's not cheap for our bodies. It's not cheap for taxpayers who have to get rid of all of this. So I don't want to discourage you from writing to companies. You'll get a pleasant response from Caitlin in customer service or Ryan. And I think that helps a bit. But I think the most important thing is we need to adopt new laws that require the reduction of plastics. Mm-hmm. 5 states in the country have adopted something called extended producer responsibility, terrible name. In New York, for instance, there's a bill pending called the New York Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act, which Tina and I have been working on. Also, there's a proposal to expand New York's successful bottle bill. The packaging reduction bill actually passed the Senate last June, sponsored by Senator Pete Harkin in the Lower Hudson Valley. And now we are really hoping that the state assembly will pass this bill, sponsored by the Environmental Committee Chair, Assemblymember Deborah Glick, who is an environmental champion. By the way, we don't just have a presidential election coming up in November, but every state legislator is up for re-election. So you might want to ask, I'm saying this in a nonpartisan way, you might want to ask your state assembly candidates and state senate candidates, where do they stand on the packaging reduction bill? Because really what we have to do is have legally required provisions in law to reduce packaging. Mm-hmm. This bill, it started out as a 50% reduction in packaging. The Senate unfortunately changed the bill to 30% reduction over 12 years, but the Senate maintained the important provision of phasing out the 16 most toxic chemicals used in consumer packaging, PFAS chemicals, vinyl chloride, lead, mercury, formaldehyde. Do we really want those chemicals in our food packaging? The bill also prohibits chemical recycling to count as real recycling, which is just heating up plastic and mostly turning it into new fossil fuel. So the solutions are there. But we need systemic change. Voluntary efforts by companies are not working.
Mm-hmm. And I would add to that that it is always helpful to have community activism, in particular in connection to the kind of work that you just mentioned, going up into governmental circles and pushing and demanding and challenging, but also to go into the grassroots and educate every single person we can reach about how they need to make, changes to be safe, to be healthy, to have a future that is sustainable. So I think both grassroots and high-level action on the global, international, as well as national governmental level is essential to succeed.
That's exactly, Vera, what we try to do at Beyond Plastics is, for instance, one of your Siena colleagues, brother Janek.
Jacek,
Polish name,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
He came to our lobby day
last spring,
and we're as did Tina, and we're going to do another one in January, because without that grassroots support, we just get rolled over by the special interests. They have a lot of well-connected lobbyists, and we have fact sheets.
Yes, good fact sheets. Very, very good fact sheets. Lucy writes and says, my apartment complex accepts plastics to be recycled along with paper, glass, and metals. So, you know where this is headed. Should I continue to put plastics in the recycling bin or just put them in the landfill garbage?
It's a good question. It's a question I get a lot from people because it's, yes, and all the waste companies also have those single stream bins and they tell you to throw everything in them. So what we understand is that only the plastics that inside that iconic recycling symbol say number one or number two actually have a market when they go to the materials recycling facility for plastics. They get bundled and there actually might be a market for them to get further recycled into other products. However, all the other plastics appear to either go into a landfill or an incinerator. So
just number one and number two plastic. Don't put the other plastics in. And if you are in a bottle bill state like New York, Connecticut, Vermont, Massachusetts, that's the best kind of recycling because it keeps it really source separated and cleaned. And those soda bottles have a much better chance of getting recycled. So the numbers and the arrows seem to be shrinking. It's not just your eyes. If you look at the bottom, look for number one, which is PET plastic, or number two, which is HDPE. So it's things like soda bottles, shampoo bottles, laundry detergent containers. But I just want to spend a moment discussing why what Tina said is so important. Only put number one and number two in your bin. You may have a bright orange detergent bottle on top of your washing machine. And then you might have a clear plastic squeezable ketchup bottle in your refrigerator. Those two things cannot be recycled together because there are different plastic resins, different chemicals, different colors. That's why the recycling rate is so low and why even the industry favorite chemical recycling isn't working. Unlike an aluminum can, you can recycle that into a new aluminum can. The markets on glass are not great, but old glass can become new glass. This is the heart of the California Attorney General's lawsuit. The people who knew that plastic recycling wouldn't work, just physically doesn't work, is the plastics industry. Yet they spend millions of dollars deceiving the public, telling us, put all your recyclables in your bin, don't worry about it. I have been wondering for years when this was going to catch up with the plastics industry. And I think with the California Attorney General lawsuit, the chickens are coming home to roost.
Let's go to Bill, who says, as an NPR listener, I must admit I was rather discouraged from an All Things Considered segment that was somewhat glib in saying that recycling really has been ineffective and the participants were sold a bill of goods and thinking it would make a significant difference. Being a 65 boomer, the information about overpopulation when I was a young adult also seemed to be non-evidence-based. So in trying to be a person with earnest intentions, how can we discover informed voices and strategies that do make an impact or encouragements on how to avoid plastic purchases? It seems the market could drive this if it was a big enough issue.
The market is not driving it because plastic is cheap for the companies that are using it. So sorry, market-based advocates.
It's also cheap to ship because it's lighter weight than other materials like glass.
So the only way we're going to change it is first getting to the truth. So looking at information like from Zero Waste Capital District, the Descendants Project, I think focusing on the upstream production of plastic is so vitally important. And then working on policy changes. It's kind of hopeless at the federal level. We mostly play whack-a-mole trying to block bad proposals. That may change in January. But I think a focus on your state legislators would go a very, very long way. And there are lots of good model bills out there. Years ago, Tina and I, and the way we kind of got to know each other was we worked to convince Albany County to ban polystyrene in all restaurants.
Right.
And that was a grassroots effort. It was like 10 really well-informed, poorly behaved women who went to Albany County legislature meetings month after month, and the law was changed.
Let's go to Jay, who says, I need to know, shouty caps, how to recycle plastic. At my local transfer station, plastic is thrown into a bin with glass and metal cans. There are no separate place for plastics. Please tell me how to responsibly get rid of it.
I think well, I would start with the deposit bottles. If you bring them back to a redemption center, then those
or
definitely
supermarket.
Or supermarket, right? Those machines in the supermarkets that will take them. That's the way to make sure that your plastics are actually getting recycled. And also, if you do that, you know, if you the money is going the there's a the that. It's actually, I believe it's 10 cents. You get 5 cents back, but the other 5 cents goes to the redemption centers. And I think to the Pollution Prevention Institute gets a piece of that in New York State. So there's a little bit of money that goes into a good environmental cause organization. Whereas if you just even toss those deposit bottles into a recycling bin or throw them away, that money actually goes back to the manufacturer, a few cents on each of those deposit bottles. So best to bring them to a redemption center. That's a good place to start.
And keep recycling other material. I want to kind of rewind the tape a little bit, if tapes still exist. They don't. Keep recycling paper, cardboard, metal, glass. That works. There are markets for that. It actually gets recycled. Plastic recycling is giving the rest of recycling a bad name. Right now, I personally do recycle number one and number two plastic, nothing else. And I'm kind of reconsidering whether I should even keep doing that. My position is evolving, but I'm still doing it. Anything you can do to avoid plastic is certainly the best. But if you can't avoid it, which is the case for most people, do not put anything other than number one and number two plastics in your recycling bin, because it goes to the material recovery facility and then it just gets sent to a landfill or the incinerator in Washington County, Joe, or the incinerator in Poughkeepsie.
I just want to say we have to go over to a break, but I have a very quick question from a listener. Maybe I think it's a quick question. I hope it is. Bill writes, have you ever tried to recycle fluorescent tubes? It's almost impossible. Home centers used to take them, but not anymore. Any ideas on how to get rid of them?
I don't. I would have also said a home center because that's where I've used to bringing them. There probably are resources online that might be able to give you some more information, but I may not be able to recycle them anymore.
We'll figure out more. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue, and we're going to send it over to Ray and to Sarah as we go charging in to make our goal and to keep going and to help the Lockbox. Ray and Sarah, take it away.
Thank you, Joe. This is Sarah LaDuke.
This is Ray Graff.
So far in the Lockbox, we have raised $246,799.
Well, all right.
That's all right.
We're closing in on 250.
We're trying to get to 250 in the next 20 minutes, and then we will receive two generous challenges from Anonymous in Albany and Anonymous in Washington, Mass., and that will be $2,000 more toward our $1.25 million ultimate goal.
All right, that's a great point. And the fund drive begins October 14th, and at that time, it is straight on through to the other side.
That's right.
We'll have 6 a.m. till 7 p.m. or
that's
longer.
Right. You'll hear from assorted staff from throughout the...
Did you say sorted? Or
assorted.
Assorted. and we will break for Midday Magazine, a shortened Midday Magazine, and when breaking news happens, we bring that to you. But mostly, it's fundraising. And what we're doing here is giving you some really great content in these roundtable panels and trying to take a few moments and raise some money. That's where you come in. Recycle your love for WAMC.
Ooh.
And give us a call at 800-323-9262. 800.
We're doing dialects?
I don't know.
1-800-323-9262 there, love.
Well, that's the purtiest way I ever heard it said. 800-323-9262. Please give us a call. We have just a little ways to go. We're in the 2000s now. We have raised $247,009. That means we have $2,091 to go to make this challenge.
We're very close. It feels pretty good, but don't count your chickens.
Exactly, before they hatch. Joseph in Postenkill, New York, thank you. Thanks, Gene in Averill Park, who loves the station, is a sustainer.
Cool.
Maybe, Sarah, you could tell us what a sustainer is.
A sustaining member commits to giving a certain amount per month. It's automatically removed from the bank account of their choice at the amount that they choose until, you know, they adjust, change it, or cancel it if their finances change. But we can count on those funds from sustaining members toward our, you know, operational costs.
And you can count on us when you've had enough or if you have no longer the means to do it, we will stop it right away. We're on your side. You're on our side. We're on everybody's side.
Yeah,
right?
It's a family. Or sometimes families are pretty tricky.
Dysfunctional.
Friends.
Yeah.
A support structure.
All right. Friends with
a community.
Friends with pledges. 800-323-9262. Thanks to Michelle in Albany. I'd love for there to be more of these creative panels and new voices. Not that there's anything wrong with the familiar voices. Less talk about the T word and more conversations like this plastics panel, please, says Michelle.
Noted.
Thanks to Anonymous, and you're the producer.
Yeah.
Thanks to Anonymous in Schenectady, New York, Michael in Saratoga Springs, Andrea and Jeff in Shutesbury, Mass., Kenneth in Lee, Massachusetts. Thank you all for doing what you have done.
The phone number is 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. WMC staff standing by, ready to assist you with your pledge if you want to give a call. We are trying to reach the $250,000 point in the fund drive by noon, and we are at 247-009.
WAMC.org is the place you can make your secure online pledge. You can find out about being a sustainer there as well. There is that option. There are options for premiums. We have some really great ones that have come down over the years, and you'll be amazed what's still lying around. So you can find some real oldies.
That's right. Classic, classic premiums.
Nice.
800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. Thank you to new member Todd in West Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Lovely little West Stockbridge. Thank you for joining us, Todd. Thanks to Mike and Carol in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and Betsy in Richmondville, New York, and Michael in New Windsor, New York. So great to hear from people from all over the listening area supporting WAMC and helping us reach this challenge. We're trying to get to the $250,000 point in the Lockbox by noon today, which is just about 16 minutes from now.
Right. If you count the legal ID, it's 15 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah,
and
less now, because time apparently keeps marching on.
It is indeed fleeting. So we need everybody right now, 800-323-9262. We'll make this challenge. We'll get the extra $2,000 from Washington, Massachusetts, and Albany, New York. But we need you, WAMC.org or 800-323-9262.
1-800-323-9262. WAMC is here all the time for listeners, for anybody who wants to tune in. There's no paywall to listen, but we do need money to exist. And that is where we come to you three times a year. in, you know, batches of days, batches of weeks, to remind you that we wouldn't be here without the support of our listeners, come members, and we need to hear from you, you know, as often as possible. We need to remind you what's important, which is the news and information that we provide.
And, you know, I've said this before, and I know we have to go back to the roundtable, but I think it's important to mention again that when you pledge to WAMC, you're helping us, and you're also doing it for those people out there who are not in the position now to make a pledge. This is a radio station. It's free. You turn it on, you listen. There is no paywall. So when you make your pledge, you're doing your part for us and also for your fellow listeners who are not in that position right now to make that pledge. 800-323-9262.
1-800-323-9262. Please keep pledging. Right now we're at $247,252.
Well, all right.
$247,252 raised so far. That is so much money. I mean, when you think about it, you know, for as like a household budget, it's unbelievable. It's
Could so I have many, that, please?
I'm afraid not. We need it for operating costs,
very nice.
Bro. 1-800-323-9262. We're trying to get to 250,000 in the next 15 minutes.
Right.
All right.
Ray and I will come back at the end of the hour. But now we go back to Joe. How's it going over there?
It's going well. We're trading you know, notices back and forth. But how much time? Like I think we're gonna have closing statements, and then we'll throw it back to you. Does that sound all right?
Yes, it does.
Very good. So be ready for us in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Excellent. We're gonna do this. We can do this. This is amazing. How fun. Okay. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. We'll be right back with Sarah and Ray to make the money. And we go back and have some closing thoughts from our wonderful panel this morning. I can't thank them enough. Vera Karius-Kelly had to, she had to go work. So she had given us her entire morning. She actually had to go to work. Then Judith Enk, Tina Lieberman, and Joe Banner. So, Tina, I know you had some things that you wanted to mention of resources that people should know about.
Right. So I wanted to mention that for glass recycling, right now, if you put the glass in your single stream recycling bin, it gets crushed down and used usually as alternate landfill cover. If you want to do like something I call true glass recycling, where it will actually be recycled into another product, such as fiberglass insulation, you can bring it to the Honest Weight Food Co-op. They have graciously set up a whole bunch of bins outside, and if you clean your glass, take off the lid, and you can put it in there. We'll take in clear glass as well as blue-green glass. They have to be separated out, and those will actually get picked up and truly recycled into other materials, which is fabulous. I also wanted to mention that we have a community meeting coming up to discuss creating a reuse center in the Capital District. It's on Thursday, October 10th, next week, 6:30 p.m. at the William K. Sanford Library and Colony. And we have another one of those that will be at, 6 p.m. refreshment, 6:30 meeting. And we have another meeting scheduled for Wednesday, December 11th from 7 to 8:30 at the Albany Unitarian Universalist Society. So we'd love to have people come and weigh in on creating a reuse center in the Capital District, something where it would be very easy for us to all get our objects that we once loved and no longer need into someone else's hands. There's a lot of opportunities there for also recycling construction materials, for electronics, computer equipment, and lots of opportunity there for creating some really good green jobs in the area as well.
Tina Lieberman is chair of Zero Waste Capital District. Joe Banner, I want to thank you very much as co-founder and co-director of the Descendants Project. For people who want to know more information about the great work that you do, how can they find that out?
Yeah, thanks for having me. We have a website, Descendants Project. You can follow us there on Facebook and social media. Post updates. Regular there.
All right. Unfortunately, I think we are losing you, but we'll get you the
DescendantsProject.org.
DescendantsProject.org is where you want to go. DescendantsProject.org. And Joe Banner, thank you very much. In our final moment, Judith Enk, what would you like people to know about how to do this in Beyond Plastics?
Well, go to beyondplastics.org for lots of opportunities on how to get rid of plastics in your own life, but more importantly, how to drive systemic change so we have laws to protect people and the planet. I'm so grateful that Joe Banner joined us today because this plastics issue is definitely important for our own bodies, our own local environment. You know, I've met lots of climate change deniers. I've never met a plastic pollution denier because the evidence is everywhere. But we also have to focus on the upstream issues, the production of plastics, primarily in low-income communities of color. This is a civil rights issue that I think when you reach for plastic products, you're not thinking all the time about where it's made. And so the urgency is real in terms of driving down the production, use, and disposal of plastics. There's lots we can do.
I want to thank all of you for being a part of this very special program. Judith Enk, Tina Lieberman, Vera Carius-Kelly, Joe Banner, thank you all. Now, we'll go and send it over to Sarah and Ray to come in on the white horse with all that money.
Of a mule, to be honest with you, but it's okay. We're here.
I would like to add my on-air thanks to the panel. Thank you guys so much.
Beautiful job.
You all, y'all, so much for being here. 1-800-323-9262. We're at $249,005.
Okay, now
we're so close.
When these challenges came down, Sarah LaDuke, I was pretty confident. We had plenty of time. We have $1,000 to raise. We have 8 minutes to go.
Yes.
We have to be out at 59:30 or we don't get the challenges. So we have money to raise. Please do. If you haven't pledged, now your money goes 2 to 1, basically.
Yeah.
Three to one.
It's tripled.
It's tripled.
Is that right?
You know what? My math skills ain't too good today.
Oh, goodness.
800-323-9262. That's the number, and you can pledge at WAMC.org. Either way, we only have about 8.5 minutes to go, and we have $1,000 to raise. We need everybody on a phone. 800-323-9262.
Please do what you can as we try to, you know, consistently mention anything that you can give. You're a full member of the station, and it helps. We value each pledge equally, and we're so grateful to hear from, you know, new members, sustaining members, existing members, lapsed members, which we don't technically have, but it's not a technical category, but
right.
It's something that you could, you know, could have gone away or could have not been able
sure.
to afford for a while, but now you've come into a few more coppers, as someone called it earlier, and you can donate to the station. And we would just love to hear from you, love for you to be a part of it. We, as an entity, have a mission of informing the community that we are able to provide content to with our airwaves, and we would just love to hear from you. You know, now, please help us make this challenge. 800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. Just about 6.5 minutes. Thanks to Leanne in Albany, New York. Love the job you do. Listens all the time. Anonymous in Albany, New York. Peggy in Leeds says, really appreciate communicating my questions on Vox Pop with Ray.
Oh,
there you go.
You.
Fan of your show, which you think there aren't any, but of course there are thousands.
Right. Okay.
Thanks also to Paul in Schenectady, New York, Anonymous in New Paltz, New York, Terry in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and Deborah in Del Mar.
Thanks to Anonymous of Parker, Colorado. All right.
All right, Colorado.
Thanks to John in Hawley, Massachusetts, Catherine in Latham, New York, who says, great job with plastics seminar this morning. But it was a talk, all right, we'll call it a seminar.
Sure.
Catherine, you're a new member. We love you. Thank you. Thanks to another Catherine who is in Big Indian, New York, and says thank you for allowing more time to this important issue. And many county waste facilities offer hazardous material recycling events. In Ulster County, there is an UPC Hazardous Waste Collection Day that requires registration. Thanks to Anne in Poughkeepsie, New York. She loves the station. Thank you for Tanglewood and the Opera. There's one for the Opera. All right. Thanks to Mary in Rensselaer, New York. Carol in Accord, New York. Couldn't live without WAMC, my local NPR station. Thanks to Anonymous in Lake George, New York. Christina in Saratoga Springs, pledging in honor of Cindy Brunel, who loves the station, too.
Cool.
Christina, thanks for doing that. Thanks to Anonymous in New Paltz, who's a new member, and Ray in Troy. Nice name. Thanks to WAMC for doing what you're doing. Ray, thanks for doing what you are doing.
Ewing doing what Ewing doing do. 1-800-322- I'm not picking on you. I'm having fun with words.
Oh, I like it. You're so playful.
Sometimes. Hey. Right, Joe? Playful? That's what I am?
Oh, and guess what? I just saw a sign handed up in the air by Amber, under $1 million to go in the drive.
All right.
And that's supposed to make me feel good?
1-800.
Oh, I'm happy.
323-9262. 4.5 minutes.
800-323-9262.
1-800-323-9262 or online at WAMC.org. We are, you know, we have a new leadership here at the station. We're trying new methods of fundraising. So far, I think that this system of having focused topic conversations interspersed with yapparapos from us has been fairly well received.
You know, I've been trying to get the new CEO on the air with us.
I know.
She's a very nice British lady.
Yes, she has very intelligent.
She has a tremendous accent, darling, and I'd like to get her on the radio, but she's reticent at this point.
Okay, well, we'll keep working on it.
Oh, she's going to be. By the time we're on October 14th, when the fun drive begins, she's coming on. She doesn't know it, but she's going to join us for a few minutes and say hello.
We'll see. I mean, she's her own entity, so she gets to choose.
Yes, and she does sign my paycheck, so I'm not going to push too hard. 800-323-9262 or WAMC.org.
1-800-323-9262. Thanks to Anonymous in Scotia, New York, Patricia in Hudson, New York, new member, Jeffrey in Great Barrington, Mass.
Lovely.
The greatest of Barringtons over there in Massachusetts. Thanks also to Anonymous in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Well, the fun we've had, eh?
Of course.
800-323-9262. You know,
yes,
people are buying in to this. Now, you have put together, and Joe and many others have put together, a really great series of roundtable panels, and there are more coming. But people, I think, are buying into this idea of we'll break for a little while, we'll raise some money, we'll go back to that. So looking into the future, that looks like a direction. You know, we're still going to have a regular fun drive, folks.
This time we definitely are.
October 14th is the time, and that's the time when things go really bonkers.
1-800-323-9262. Ray and I are with you for another 2.5 minutes, approximately.
What do you got?
We're hoping to hear from some more people out there. Help us raise money for the station.
Your assistant producer over there is yawning. So, we're doing
we
okay.
We did keep her late last night. You know, so she's entitled to be tired.
Her name is Madeline.
Madeline Reynolds.
And so it took me a while to remember that because I thought, Meredith, is it Mary Beth? But, you know, it takes me a while to remember people's names.
Okay.
And now I know.
A lot
know.
Of people have that.
Now I know it's Melanie, so it's fine.
It's Madeline.
Madeline, that's
Madeline.
Right.
Madeline.
Oh.
Madeline.
The youngest one was Madeline. 800-323-9262.
1-800-323-9262. Our Madeline Reynolds she's a UAlbany grad. She was an intern twice. And I said, oh, you're graduating. Cool. Do you want to be here forever and keep helping? And she said, yeah, okay.
Now, if you're an intern twice, does that violate labor laws in any way?
No, she got credit both times.
Oh, she did? Yeah. Okay, fair enough. 800-323-9262.
She asked. She said, can I come back? And I said, if only. And then I found out if only was possible. So, yeah.
Now, if only was forever. Sounds like a Sondheim. We have 90 seconds to go. We want to hear from everybody we can. And, of course, you can pledge 24/7, 365 at WAMC.org.
Which some people do. They hear something, you know, that they like, a particularly strong interview per their taste. And they'll be like, you know, that was so great. I'm pledging now.
All right.
I'm supporting the station
so
now.
I just want to say right out there, we made the challenge.
Marvelous.
We have made the
challenge. Congratulations to us and everyone, the station and the listenership. We appreciate it.
We have people to thank, but I just want to say we're at 251, 614.
Fantastic.
We're rolling, baby. Everyone's getting it.
Cool. And we want to thank again Anonymous from Albany, New York, and Anonymous from Washington, Mass. For helping us, for motivating us to motivate the people through your challenges. It's so generous, and we can't thank you enough. Thank you to Robert in Statsburg, New York, who says thank you for the special programming. Anonymous from Albany says, the programming recently is so positive and educational. She really appreciates it. It's so constructive and educational, and you can't find it anywhere else. Thanks to Philip and Sarah Jane in Hanover, New Hampshire.
Oh, I love New Hampshire.
Thanks to Ruth in Schenectady, New York. Anonymous in Hudson is a sustaining member and says happy golden birthday to the future leaders of the country. And thanks also to new member Fred in Utica.
Hey, Utica, way out there in central New York. Thank you all. You guys were fantastic today. Everybody who pitched in, keep doing it. WAMC.org.